From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles, and this is a show where every week we deal with issues relating to our mental health. When I'm talking about mental health, I'm talking about a more holistic approach, which it, to me, means a balance between mind, body, and spirit. The balance being the key word there, the importance in being able to learn to develop a greater level of consciousness between how our body is communicating to us, our thoughts, how our emotional state is communicating to us, and how all of that translates into a spiritual connection or a lack of. And when I talk about spirit or spirituality, that to me is left open for whatever definition works for you, whether it's higher power, whether it's love or intuition, whether it's God, whether whatever. The thing is that there's a connection to something greater than who we are. And again, if this is not about religion, this is about an essence of who you are at your core. So every week we deal with issues, like I said, related to mental health. And tonight, kind of taking a cue from what's going on in the world. About 6 months ago, I did a show dealing with current events and our emotions. And that's what tonight's topic is again. And I won't be having a guest, so feel free to call in and participate in this, because I know a lot of you just listened to a show previous to this one that dealt with what's going on in the world right now and war, obviously we are going to war. And just finished listening to 5 minutes of CNN News. So if you want to participate in this, talking about all this, less from a political sense, but more of how the politics and how the events going on around the world are affecting us psychologically and emotionally, as well as spiritually. The number in Phoenix, locally, is 480-874-1311, 480-874-1311. And if you're listening over the internet, via my website, tellthetruthfaster.com, or KXAM's website, the toll-free number is 1-888-437-7660, 888-437-7660. So hope some of you will call in and participate. The issue of current events is something I believe a lot of therapists do not necessarily pay as much attention to as would be appropriate. Very often, you know, we're dealing with events in our clients' lives that drive them to seek therapy, and, you know, those events could be personal childhood abuse, death of a loved one, a history of addictions, and so many other things that scar and damage the psyche, the heart, the mind, and the soul. And they addressed and had a quote that I heard about a year or so ago that says, "History is not an accident. History is a choice." And despite Rustin's statement that history is not an accident, that history is not a choice in the practical sense. History as choice is the conscious decisions we make today that is creating our future history. I'll say that again. History as choice is the conscious decisions we make today that create our future history. Taking into account the election of a couple of years ago, the powers that be in Florida and the Supreme Court, I believe, you know, made decisions for us and let us down instead of letting the system really do the work. And we have a system that really does work even if it loses its way from time to time. We have minds and hearts that really can take care of us, even if they lose their way from time to time. As therapists, we're here to be conscious lights to help people rediscover their way, whatever that may be. As human beings, part of a society, I feel we all have a similar charge. In other words, all of us are here to help bring clarity and light. Now, one of the last things that I heard on this show previous to mine, and I think it was Max Gerson, who's the news director at KXAM, was moderating the show. Someone said, we believe in a democracy. And in that sense, they were talking about, because we believe in a democracy, that we have a right to depose dictators and do a lot of things in other countries. So whether you believe that we are justified in going into Iraq right now or not, and I, you know, I can't do the show without my own personal opinions. I personally believe we don't. But because we believe in it, that this is a democracy we live in, it means that everyone has a right to voice their opinions. Everyone, even if you don't agree with them. Everyone has a right to their own religious beliefs, even if you don't agree with it. But we don't have a right to tell people that they can't express those beliefs, that they can't pray the way they want to and go and worship the way they want to, that they can't demonstrate for or against anything that's going on in this country, so long as they're not, you know, like there was an abortionist today on the East Coast that was convicted of, I think, second-degree murder because of the doctor that he killed a couple of years ago. That person has that person that was convicted has a right to his beliefs that abortion isn't right, but he doesn't have the right to scare or take someone else's life who doesn't believe the way he believes. That's not a democracy. That's still a crime. So if you take a look at what's going on in the world right now, and unless you're a hermit on a mountaintop, it's impossible not to have been paying attention to what's going on. Stop for a moment and get in touch with what you're feeling about all this. No matter what your opinion is, no matter what, whether you feel that what's going on is right or wrong, what kind of effect is this having on you emotionally? What kind of effect is this having on you psychologically? How is it affecting you personally in your day-to-day activities? And how is it impacting you spiritually? For a lot of people, our media reinforces fear, 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 fear. And in many cases, a certain level of that is certainly appropriate and justified. But we also know that the barrage that we have of 24-hour news breaking away for television reports for every little thing that's going on around this, while may be of interest to a lot of people and may be necessary in terms of keeping us appraised of what's going on, what kind of impact is it having? The issue that we're talking about here, again, is not whether the politics of this is right or wrong. The issue is, what is it doing to a society, to us as a community, as a society, and as individuals? What's the level of fear? CNN just reported before my show that we're now in condition orange in terms of security. Well, you know what? I agree that it's appropriate that we raise the security awareness right now and that we take precautions, because I believe that that this invasion of Iraq is going to lead to more retaliation on our own shores. And it's appropriate that we're taking whatever precautions we can. But we're also, I believe, going to be finding that retaliation coming so close to home, and that we're going to start understanding and learning, I think as we did on 9/11, what it's going to be like for those people what it is like for people living in Northern Ireland or the Middle East or in Kashmir or in other countries where there is a constant threat of violence and terrorism. We're going to start knowing that firsthand. There are already people in my practice who are beginning to see that this sense of hopelessness and helplessness is tapping into things from their own childhood where they were already conditioned to feel that sense of hopelessness and helplessness, that their self-esteem was already impacted. And it's not just what's going on in current events, but it's how is that stuff triggering issues of our own inside of us. We're going to take a short break here, and I'm going to continue discussing current events and our emotions when we come back, so stay tuned.
The rainbow up high.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and tonight's topic has to do with current events and our emotions, our psychological state. And this is a live call-in show. If you're in the local Phoenix area, the number is 480-874-1311. And the toll-free number, if you're listening via the Internet elsewhere in the country, 1-888-437-7660. Before we went to break, I was talking about the impact that what we're hearing in the news is having on all of us and how it's showing itself even in my private practice with clients. And I think as therapists sometimes we're being affected so much by something that we may not actually be able to see the relevancy of these same issues within our clients because maybe we're not addressing them ourselves. The increase in constant coverage of something that is so impactful worldwide, and the feedback that's coming that is so confusing, you know, is this invasion the right thing or the wrong thing? Is it American arrogance or is it justifiable American intervention? You know, you will find as much argument here in the U.S. as you will in almost every other country. And again, I say that we all have a right to our own opinions on this, but what I'm focusing on tonight has to do with the impact of our beliefs and the events going on around us. You know, I remember back, and I know I'm dating myself with this, but I was in junior high school when JFK was assassinated, and I remember being sent to our homerooms and not knowing why, and the teacher coming in and announcing to us that the president had been assassinated and that we were all being sent home early. And for a 12-year-old, of course, that was impactful. I was conscious enough about what's going on in the world, but I was also impacted by this adult in front of the classroom and her tears coming down her face. And I remember the next week being home and all we did was sit in front of the TV watching the story unfold before us and the funeral and every angle of the story. And children are being impacted, and rightly so. I mean, there is a normal sense of grief that's going on that even as children, most of us are able to understand, but not necessarily know what to do with. The important thing in any situation where there's an intense public event going on, whether it had to do with the assassination of JFK, RFK, Martin Luther King, the explosion of Columbia, or a number of years ago with Challenger, children need to be talked to and respected and given a space where they're allowed to express themselves. And even if they don't have words, to be able to draw pictures, to be able to, you know, be held, to be given the same respect of the fact that they are people who are being impacted. And it may be they don't understand what's happening or why it's happening, but they are feeding off of the emotions and energy of the adults around them. There are very few adults in this country or anywhere in the world, as a matter of fact, that are either, that are not either, living in a tremendous amount of fear or anger about what's going on in the world today with this invasion of Iraq. Children are very sensitive to that fear and to that anger and to the confusion that's going on, because they may hear one adult, you know, saying one thing, another adult saying another. And they need a space that's safe for them to be able to question and express themselves. And it may be that they're not trying to express themselves, obviously, in a mature way about what's going on in the world, but express themselves from their perspective as to the confusion and discomfort and fear that the adults around them are manifesting in those kids. Now, I know that there are a lot of schools who are developing curriculum or an approach for teachers to give the kids an opportunity to talk about these issues and talk about how the adults around them are affecting them. And I think that's very healthy and very appropriate. And all I'm saying about this is, as all this adult stuff has happened, we cannot forget about the children and how this is impacting them, and not just say to them, you're too young to understand what's going on, because most of them are, and I don't care if they're 5 years old or 15 years old, they understand that something bad's happening, that the adults around them are scared or angry or arguing. And they do understand that, even if they don't understand the politics. So one of the main points tonight is, don't undervalue your kids' reactions and what they need in terms of support during this time. I mean, think also, even separate from this Iraq stuff, children are hearing on the TV all the time and seeing it in papers and even in school about, you know, stories of abduction, you know, like with Elizabeth Smart. And, you know, sometimes they don't have a happy ending. But they're also hearing now that, you know, they believe that she was sexually molested while she had been abducted. But they hear stories of kids disappearing all the time, sexual molestation, you know, this problem with the church and the priest and all that. Kids are hearing this all the time. Parents are reminding them, don't talk to strangers, don't do this, don't do that, be careful. Don't accept things from people you don't know. But a lot of the time, these things are being done by people they do know. It confuses these children, and it creates a state of fear. And again, what we're trying to build in them is a healthy caution, so that they are able to grow and mature and learn what a healthy risk is compared to taking risks that could lead to something like being abducted. So learning how to talk to these children as it relates to everything they're reading in the papers about molestations and you know, physical abuse, who is safe and healthy for them to talk to out there, whether it's a teacher or a counselor or a clergy, or hopefully mom and dad are not the perpetrators of what's creating the fear for them, and that they know that it's safe to go to mom and dad with issues that are scaring them, with questions, or to report something that happened to them. So again, current events are impacting all of us, and some special attention, I believe, has to be paid to the children, as well as the teenagers. Teenagers now have a whole different set of issues, because If things are too overwhelming to them, they may have access to pot, alcohol, and other things to try and numb the confusion. You know, or they may have some very clear opinions. Teenagers need a space to voice their opinions even if the adults don't agree with them. You know, I mean, I was in college from 68 to 72. In those days with the Vietnam War and other things like that, there were a lot of us who had opinions about a lot of things that the adults around us did not agree with and did not want to hear. So a lot of my generation learned how to shout louder, learned how to demonstrate and learn how to really be heard, and implemented a lot of change. But because nobody was willing to listen or consider the fact that what people were automatically assuming to be the appropriate thing to do, whether it's, you know, war in Vietnam or, you know, a lack of rights for women or gays or whatever the situation may be, we see historically now that a lot of people came around to agreeing with a lot of what we were saying. And there were people in those ranks that also became terrorists and took it to an extreme that was not healthy. And maybe if someone had been listening to them when they had an emotional, an appropriate emotional reaction, maybe they wouldn't have felt they needed to go to the extents and the extremes that they did that end up killing people and doing damage. Just like the abortionist, you know, who was just convicted of murder. So the important thing, again, is that children and teenagers need to be respected for what they're thinking and what they're feeling. And if we forget that, what we're doing is germinating inside of them a great deal of rage and fear of their own, separate from the current events. And we're going to take another break here, and when I come back, we'll continue talking about what's going on in our world and how it's impacting us as individuals and human beings. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and tonight's topic is current events and our emotions. And I believe I have a caller on the line. Rob, are you there? Are you there, Rob? Okay, I guess we lost him. Continuing with what I was saying earlier, I know I was talking about the issue of children and how to instill a healthy sense of caution and not an overwhelming sense of fear. But again, if you know, I pray that we in the U.S. don't end up, you know, raising our kids in an environment like the kids are being raised in the Middle East and Northern Ireland and, you know, places throughout the world in Asia and Africa where there is this constant state of terror going on around them. But the reality of it is we have that in sections of our own country, inner cities where, you know, bullets are flying and, you know, gangs are in control of a neighborhood and kids are not allowed to go out of the house after a certain hour and do live in the same kind of, you know, fear. So, again, it's still addressing how the current events, you know, become not just something we read in the news, but there are people who are living this terror and living this fear. And I think it's very important that while this is going on with Iraq and war or not war or, you know, all of the conflicts that are going on, that we don't forget our kids. So in other situations, you know, again, how do current events impact us emotionally and psychologically? Well, current events also may include natural disasters. It's not just about, you know, war and violence. You know, current events are about, you know, the tornado that's hit a community and devastated and destroyed homes or, you know, left a number of people dead, or a hurricane that's flooded out, you know, an entire community. Earthquakes, you know, I lived through the 94 earthquake here in Los Angeles, and, you know, people died in that, and buildings were destroyed in that, and, you know, I was waking up at 3 in the morning to my apartment building just rocking and rolling and threw me out of bed, and, you know, those things happen so quickly that there's no time to react. But I had friends that, I knew a couple of people that within 2 days had packed up and moved out of L.A. because of that natural disaster, you know, that earthquake, just scaring them. And where can you actually live in this world today where there are not going to be certain natural disasters? Sure, there are certain areas that you know you have a higher likelihood of experiencing, but, you know, most people take it in stride, but it's hard to take it in stride sometimes when it's been extremely devastating. Maybe when it's someone real close to you that got killed in that earthquake, or whether it was, you know, in an area that, you know, like in Armenia a number of years ago, where entire villages were destroyed and devastated, and hundreds, if not thousands, of people, you know, were killed. We see this all the time. And again, as adults, we're watching TV, and it's on the news, and it may be on for an hour or two a night because of the reports coming in. You know, think about the impact of the constancy of 9/11. And, I mean, rightly so, it was devastating and a horrible thing for us to have to deal with and for New York City to go through. And the reports, you know, were respectful and honored the dead and, you know, gave us the information in a lot of ways to answer the questions we had that built on the fears inside of us. But as individuals, I believe we have to know when we've absorbed and have become saturated with too much news, with too much information, or the same information over and over again. And the media, when, because they're staying on for hours upon hours upon hours in a crisis like that, go looking for pieces of information that are totally unnecessary, but they're looking to fill time because they know they're going to be on the air. And they go looking for hypotheses that make us question things that are probably not even relevant. But again, they're looking for the angles and the hooks so that you'll stay tuned to their station. And all it's doing is giving us food for thought about things that really are not necessary and not relevant information. And it's overkill, literally. And what it does to a lot of us is starts killing us, starts killing our own aliveness. There is such a thing as too much news. I don't believe necessarily that watching the news on a regular basis, you know, I think it's part of being a good citizen and part of being a human being and being aware of what is going on around us so that we're forming intelligent opinions on it and taking appropriate actions based on what we're learning from this. But how many of you, even during 9/11, realized at some point you were getting too much? I know myself at one point I stopped listening to the news in the car, I turned off the TV, or started watching movies and stuff like that because I knew that I needed a break from it. I already was grieving. I already felt the horror of the situation. When I needed a bit more information, I mean, I read the newspaper every day, but I also realized that I didn't need to read every word in every article. The headlines sometimes was enough. Skimming it was enough. And it was important that I kept reading the funnies and I kept reading, you know, the entertainment news, and I kept reading other things that gave me some sense of balance. And that, again, gets back to this holistic approach, that issue of balance. if all you're doing, and how many of you listening can actually accept the fact that you have an addiction to news? You know what? A lot of people do. We now have TV stations where you get news 24 hours a day, you know, and is that really necessary? Because most of them, every 20 minutes, are just repeating the same stories over and over again, and yet we keep it on thinking that somewhere in there we're going to get a different story or a different angle on it. Some of the radio stations even advertise all the news in 20 minutes, but they keep reporting the same things over and over again, and yet why, when you're driving, are you listening to that same station for 3 hours on a car trip? You know? You get it, you can turn it on, get the news for 20 minutes, turn on some music. The other thing that I have found really helpful is I've been listening to old radio shows from the 30s, 40s, and 50s. I've been buying these tapes from this catalog called Spirit Radio, I think it's called, and it's incredible. I'm listening to old comedies and dramas and all sorts of things that are entertaining me in a way that the same music over and over again gets old too. And this is great. It's also teaching me, when I hear the commercials or when I hear, you know, some of the jokes being made about current events back then, that things are not so different today. And it helps me understand a little bit of the continuity of our country and our history. And it's also much more entertaining. Find alternatives. It's so important. So important. You don't need news 24 hours a day. None of us do, even when there's a crisis going on. You don't need to hear the same things over and over again. You don't need to have more fear and more anger instilled in you because of undocumented hypotheses that the news anchors keep reporting or keep perpetuating, even just to fill time. So think about that for a minute. Are you listening to too much news? Especially, and I have friends who are in the news industry here in LA, and they probably will kill me if they hear me say this. To me, sometimes listening to the 11 o'clock news is probably the worst time to listen to any of this stuff. And how many of you stay up and wait to go to bed till after the 11 o'clock news? So what you're doing is you're going to sleep or trying to go to sleep with that information as the last thing you hear or pay attention to before you close your eyes. Think for a minute about how that is impacting your sleep patterns. What's going on in your dreams because of it? How easy is it for you to fall asleep when that's what you're leaving yourself with before closing your eyes and getting into bed? So if you're going to listen to news, you know, get it throughout the day. If you find that it's been overwhelming for you, don't listen to the 11 o'clock news. You know, give yourself a break from it before you go to sleep. Watch something more entertaining, something lighter. You know, even if it's a movie before you go to bed or something you've taped, give yourself something lighter before going to sleep. Especially with what's going on right now. You're getting bombarded throughout the day. There's nothing you're going to hear at 11 o'clock necessarily that's going to make a major difference in terms of what you need to know before getting the rest that you need. And again, from a holistic perspective, sleep is as important part as diet and nutrition is. And how is all this fear and tension and anger and anticipation even affecting your eating patterns? Are you skipping meals? Are you binging? Everything that's going on, everything you're reading, everything that's going on TV, radio, wherever you're getting your news and information, is impacting you in terms of diet, nutrition, eating patterns, sleeping patterns. And this is all part of that balanced and holistic approach to taking care of yourself. We're going to take our final break here and come back in just a few minutes, so stay tuned.
Somewhere.
Welcome back to our final segment on Tell the Truth Faster tonight. This is Stuart Altshuler, and I do believe we have a caller, Robbie. Caller also got lost. So, anyway, thanks for your patience, all of you that are listening. And there are a few things that I just wanted to close with today. This is Stuart, and we're back here at Tell the Truth Faster. We had a little technical glitch there. And that is what I was saying earlier about changing the channel, doing other things. The whole idea of a holistic approach to taking care of ourselves has to do with paying attention to our activities, our thoughts, the messages that are going through us as well as that are coming at us, the eating habits, our sleeping patterns. Think for a minute about what often happens when there's a major crisis going on in this country. Everything seems to stop. Well, I know there's been, you know, I'm in LA, in fact I live in Hollywood, and that there's been talk, should the Academy Awards go on, you know, if we're at war this Sunday, should the NCAA tournament, you know, go on if we're at war. I believe the answer to both of those is yes. I don't believe it's disrespectful to the men and women who are putting their lives at risk in the military, in Iraq, to also get on with events and lives that are also affirming our aliveness and affirming the society that we live in. And I think the Academy Awards are a good break from the intensity of what we've been experiencing and will start experiencing even greater in the next few days. I think the NCAA is a break and a reminder about healthy competition and, you know, not pulling out from under them for those guys that have been in school and setting themselves up all year for these tournaments and for the excitement and the camaraderie and learning how to work together and act together and, you know, the excitement that it gives the fans. I think it's very important that those things go on, and I believe it's a respectful thing to do. You know, if you believe that this whole thing with Iraq is to preserve democracy and our sense of freedom, and even if you don't believe that's the purpose in Iraq, it is what this country's about. Freedom and democracy and the ability to feel safe at play and at worship and healthy competition. And I think by allowing the Academy Awards, the NCAA tournament to go forward, and to give us the excitement and the break and the entertainment, I think is very healthy. The other thing is continue whatever other healthy activities you have going on in your life. Don't let the war, any current event, stop you from continuing to go to the gym if that's what you do, or, you know, other athletics or other hobbies and other groups that you belong to, you know, that are healthy parts of who you are and how your life is lived. Be the role model for your kids that no matter what's going on, life still goes on. Now, of course, it's appropriate if, you know, that if grieving is a part of it, then kids learn that grieving is a part of life. But it's also important that children learn and that adults reinforce within themselves, that the healthy things that we do in our lives need to continue being a part of it. It helps give us balance. It helps get us away from the TV and the radio and the newspapers. And again, that's not being disrespectful for what is going on in the world, but every human being has a saturation point, and you need to balance that information gathering with parts of your life that bring you some pleasure, some joy, that help deal with your stress, that remind you that there's a creative flow in who you are, that, you know, is an opportunity for you to reconnect with spirit, whether it's going to, you know, your house of worship or taking a hike in the woods or into the mountains or swimming or, you know, whatever it is that brings you back to center. It's more important right now than ever that you maintain those things and don't get into that guilt trip like, how can I go and have that pleasure when, you know, people are fighting and dying, you know, to preserve the essence of how I can live. Don't put your life on hold. Think through what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. Laughter should not stop because of this war. And, you know, it's the same thing that I was saying about listening to those old radio shows in the 30s and 40s. Well, a lot of them, you know, made part of their humor, you know, especially in the 40s when the country was at war. A lot of those shows incorporated a lot of humor about what was going on with, you know, the war, with rationing and other things like that. And here they were in World War II, and most people had loved ones who were overseas or maybe had already been killed, and yet there was still an element of humor that you hear in the a lot of the comedy shows to help lighten up what was going on. People more than ever during World War II, from what I gather from these radio shows, turned to those shows to get a break, to laugh somewhat, to be supported also. And today is no different. We need those things in our lives. We need to be well-rounded and balanced. We need to keep our heads clear, because if all we're doing is sitting and being in fear and being in worry and letting our anger take over, then we're going to be part of the terrorism here in on the home front. We're going to be part of that consciousness that just makes matters worse than they already are. So those are my last thoughts tonight. This is Stuart Altshuler and Tell the Truth Faster. And hopefully you'll all tune in again next week and tell your friends. And if you want to check out more about the show or listen to any of the past shows, they're archived at TellTheTruthFaster.com, and it's free of charge. So thanks for listening, and I'll be here next week.